Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have something you'd like to talk about, a topic of interest, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, it is a special day in the United States, and Bob Christopher, you can fill us in.
Well, it is a special day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right. And many people are taking time to pause on what his life meant for so many people in this country. And I think the effects of his life and his work back in the 60s and as far as the civil rights movement was concerned is still rippling forward. We're still feeling those effects today. Still a lot of work to be done as far as our attitudes one toward another. Mm-hmm. And, all of the mistreatment in the world, I mean, you can trace it all the way back to the beginning of times. It's been one people group against another people group, one group thinking they're superior because of all sorts of things, and others, therefore, are inferior. And we treat one another based on those judgments we make about each other. And a lot of times those judgments come because we're different. We don't look like each other. We don't have the same skin color. We don't have the same background, the same culture. And so we make judgments that my culture is better than their culture. My background is better than their background. And so we treat people accordingly. Well, if you read the Bible, you know that's nonsense. God says, the golden rule. This is just kind of common knowledge as far as God is concerned, that we should treat others as we treat ourselves. And if we do that, that solves a lot of problems in the world. So yes. That's just a basic, a remedial type of thing.
Right.
But then the gospel comes along and really even trumps that with a greater sense that God has sent Jesus for all people. And we see that in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. It says this in verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There's a lot of shaming in this world. We shame each other because of skin color. We shame each other because of body type. We shame each other because you name it, we do it. But in the gospel, no one is put to shame. No one will ever be put to shame by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's the reason. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. He shows no favoritism. There is no partiality in our Lord and Savior. For everyone, and listen to this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the foundation that we stand upon as believers in Christ. And that truth begins to take root in our hearts. It begins to start reshaping how we think, how we view others. And as those attitudes start to change, then our actions and behaviors start to change one toward another. So we have to get this basic truth right. If we're going to see the love of God grow in us and just flow through us into the lives of others, we have to stand on this foundation that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes, indeed. That's the good news that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, and I think it's a message that Dr. King certainly would have been disseminating as he lived his life and his ministry. So
yes,
we celebrate the day today. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us. Going to go to the phones right now and listen to a call that came in during off hours.
My name is Ray. I'm from Missoula, Montana. I have a question for you. Praise and thank Lord, I'm saved. Lord God. But I'm not really sure what the scripture says, what happens when a person dies, about them going to hell and going to heaven and going them to a place for them to be until judgment day. So I'm looking forward to hearing that answer. Thank you.
Well, that's an excellent question, and everybody wants to know what's going to happen to us after death. That's why death is such a scary proposition, because intuitively we know that something's going to happen after death. There's going to be some type of judgment, and the writer of Hebrews talks about that, that it's destined for man to die once, and then after death comes judgment. So that's what we're really afraid of, what that judgment is going to be. And in Christ, the judgment is eternal life. So if you've come to know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have received him, and that's what this gospel message is all about, God sent Jesus. And if you receive Jesus, you receive his indestructible eternal life. And so when you die, when you take your last breath in this body, you simply are going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You're going to be with the Lord. There's going to be a time in the future where he comes back, and we're going to get resurrection bodies, and we're going to be with him forever, and we're going to take up our place in this new Jerusalem that is going to be here on earth, and God is going to be right in the middle of it. And so that's what this gospel message is heading toward. That is the culmination of all things in Christ. So that's what happens to those who are in Christ. They've already been made alive, and so when that final judgment comes, it's just eternal life. You're with him forever. And when you take that last breath, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, what about those who do not know Jesus, who have rejected Jesus? Well, they're not going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. They're going to be absent from the body, and they're going to be in a place called Hades. It's a place where they're going to be and at a point in time, they're going to be called out and received a final judgment, and their final judgment is going to be eternal death. And that's eternal separation from God. And that's why it's so important for us to get this gospel message out, because in Christ, there's the choice of life or death. And we see that from beginning to end. In the very beginning, we see a tree of life. And then there was another tree. And God said, if you ate of that, you're choosing death. Now, in Christ, we can choose life again. And that's what this gospel message is all about. When you receive Christ, you receive everlasting life. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I love the way you've described it. And now if you're listening to this, and maybe this is somewhat new to you, the tendency, if you've been raised in any kind of church background at all, is, I'd better get my life straightened out. That's not the answer.
Right.
That's the wrong approach. That's the tree of knowledge and of good and evil approach. That's why Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. He paid that price. So as a son of Adam, I was born lost, spiritually dead. The choice is to come alive, and it's the easiest choice in the world to make. So don't look at your life and say, I'd better start behaving better. Rather, look at your life and say, what can Jesus do with my life if I give it to him? And the answer is, he will give you eternal life and change you from the inside out. That's the only reasonable approach to take, because that is the promise we've been given.
Yeah, it's back to our verse, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that salvation entail? It entails life. You were dead. God crosses you over from death to life. He sends Jesus to take up residence in you. He's fully alive. You're fully alive. You're going to be fully alive forever.
Yes, indeed.
That's the good news of the gospel.
Sure is. That's the good news of the gospel. And I think the gentleman said his name was Ray from Missoula, Montana. And if you're listening, we hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question, we encourage you to call 844-322-2742. You can use that number anytime, 24 hours daily. We'd love to address your question here at Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. You know, every day as you listen to Basic Gospel, you hear in real life terms all the reasons that this ministry is and should continue to be on the air. If you have a Bible question, you can call or message Basic Gospel, If you need Bible-based guidance for a family crisis, you can call or message Basic Gospel. If you're in depression and life seems hopeless, you can call or message Basic Gospel. When you need the truth about Jesus Christ and His love for you, you can count on Basic Gospel. So for all those reasons, we thank you for your support of this message and ask your ongoing help to keep it on the air and online. To help, just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to that same number, 844-322-2742. Every call, every email question is a reason that Basic Gospel is and should continue to be on the air every day and online, of course. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, another call that came in off hours. This is from Margie, and we're going to listen to that call right now.
Hi, this is Margie from Cudahy, Wisconsin. Just briefly, I'm so glad that you say the truth. I've just been looking into someone online, and as you know, that another person can be coming on, and there's so much false teaching, so many people that I no longer support. I just have one question. If you could clarify 2 Timothy chapter 2, a couple people are mentioned as having wandered away from the truth and destroying the faith of some. I talk with someone on a regular basis who does not believe in eternal security. This passage is something that has been brought up, and also I think there is another one that I can't locate right now. If you could clarify for me how to explain these passages. You are like the only ministry that I support. I now have a church, a Milwaukee campus of Carrollton Bantry with Pete Briscoe, and literally you are like the only ministry that I will support. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, Margie, we appreciate that yes. question. And that really is a hotly debated topic. You know, once a person is saved, is that eternal? Can a person walk away from their faith? Can a person, once they've been made alive in Christ, can they go back to their original spiritual condition of death? And we believe the Bible speaks to that with a resounding no, that once a person is saved, that salvation is eternal. And there's a bunch of verses that we can point to. I think John 10, Richard, is one of your favorite yes. verses where Jesus talks about the fact that we're in his hands and nobody can snatch us out of his hands. And then his hands are in the Father's hands yeah. and no one can snatch us out of the Father's hands. That's security right there.
Sure is.
So once you're saved, you're in the very hands of Christ, who's in the very hands of God the Father. And the most secure place you can ever be is in Christ Jesus. We also see in Hebrews chapter 7, because of Jesus' indestructible life, he saves us completely. So it's not a partial salvation. And he saves us just totally, completely, you know, finally. There's nothing more to add to that. And the basis of that is an indestructible life. So Jesus has an indestructible life. We see that death could not keep him in the grave. He came out of that grave. He was raised. He was exalted to the right hand of God. And on the basis of that indestructible life, he saves us completely. What does that mean? That he comes to live inside of us, and his life becomes our life. And that's exactly what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So if Christ's life is indestructible and he's given you his life and salvation, then your life is now indestructible. Not this physical life. We're all going to die physically, but our spiritual life in Christ will never die. We're going to be with him forever. That's what this gospel is all about. So if that's what salvation really is, then what does this passage in 2 Timothy mean? And here's the passage that she's referring to. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, and it says, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. So this is not saying that they've walked away from the faith. It's simply that they've swerved from the truth. So Paul and other people were delivering the truth. They were handling the word of God accurately. They were laying out the message of Christ. And these folks were listening. And then they decided they wanted to swerve away from that and do their own thing, come up with their own message. And in doing so, they were upsetting the faith of some. And here's what they were specifically saying, that the resurrection had already happened. And if it had already happened, then these folks that were getting upset, their faith was being upset, then they were thinking they had been left behind, that they had missed the resurrection, and that their eternal destination was damnation. So that's upsetting.
It sure is.
That is upsetting. So he goes on to say, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So Hymenaeus and Philetus were making a mockery out of the gospel message, and they were upsetting. And the reason they were doing that is because they had swerved away from the truth. They had rejected it and really embraced, you know, their truth.
Yeah.
So
making
to speak.
It up as
yeah,
we go.
Making it up as they go. So this has nothing to do with somebody losing salvation. This is just somebody that has been presented with the truth who decides to walk away and reject it in rejection and to grab their own philosophy and live by that.
Yeah, notice how careful Paul is here.
Yes.
In this. And you see this in his letters, in Peter and John, all over the New Testament. They don't know when they're writing to a particular church and answering a particular question, dealing with an issue. They don't know if everybody who's hearing this letter read is saved or not. In this case, he knows Hymenaeus and Philetus. And so what he's saying to them is, you're treading on very dangerous ground. Not that you're going to lose your salvation, but if you keep going this way, all I can presume is maybe you never understood salvation in the first place. Let's talk. Notice he's not throwing bricks at them. He's saying, pay attention to what you're doing. Come back to the known truth of the gospel and let that inform how you think and therefore how you act. And this is a safety for the church. It's a safety for these two guys, and there's no judgment in it at all. There's a lot of discipline, but no judgment, no condemnation. If you're saved, you're saved. You can be confused. You can get unconfused. If you're not saved, ignore all of that other stuff. Let's get saved and go on from there. In all cases, it can be win-win. It's up to the individual to accept the teaching from the Spirit and respond to the Spirit by faith and allow grace change them from the inside out.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Margie, I'm sorry. We hope that that's a help to you. You mentioned Pete and Bent Tree Bible Fellowship.
Yep.
And
good
that
friend.
Happens to be my home church as well. So you're in good company there. Okay, let's move on. Now we're going to talk to Lorraine.
Hello, my name is Lorraine, and I just heard facts are true and feelings are not true on your radio station 90.5. And we were talking about feelings. You are talking about feelings. And they did not suggest that someone be baptized to feel better about being part of Jesus' testament. And I wondered why they didn't say, be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So that just kind of blew my mind that wasn't suggested to be baptized, because I was baptized at age 43, and it changed my life. And I was really appreciative every moment after that, because that made me a part of Jesus, because he was baptized by John the Baptist as an example to us for righteousness. He wasn't sin, he never sinned, but he was the example given to us. Thank you. Bye.
Well, it's almost a sad comment to me, because we're saved by Christ. We're not saved by anything we do. We're not saved by water baptism. You know, when Jesus was baptized in water by John the Baptist, it wasn't to set an example for us. It was for John the Baptist to identify Jesus as the Messiah. So all of Jewish history, all of Israel's history, they've been waiting for this person.
Yes.
And God had called him a prophet, you know, one like Moses. Moses said, a prophet's going to rise up. And so they're waiting for one like Moses. They're waiting for one like David, who is going to sit on the throne forever. They are waiting for this priest-like figure, character that's going to be far superior than the Levites. And so they're anticipating, they're wondering every generation, could this be the generation that this person shows up? Well, at the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. So Jesus was that guy. He was the prophet. He was the king. He was the priest, and he is all of those things. And so he needed a proper introduction. And so God chose baptism through John the Baptist to be that introduction. So can you imagine being John the Baptist? You know, God kind of saying to you, I want you to give an introduction. And it's going to be of a person that really needs no introduction, but I want you to identify him to the people of Israel so that they can recognize this person that I've been talking about all of these many years, and come to him for this life that he's going to bring. So that's why Jesus was baptized, and that pointed forward to something else. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but this one, whom yes. I've just baptized, he's going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. Now, it's that baptism by the Spirit, with the Spirit, that saves us. That's the only baptism that saves, the spiritual baptism, when we are actually placed into Christ. Water baptism for a believer is simply a recognition of that fact.
So celebration of it.
Yeah, so you don't come out of the waters as a new creation. You went into the water as a new creation.
Absolutely.
And celebrating what exactly happened, that you died, you were placed into Christ's death, you were buried with Christ, and you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. That happens the moment you are born again of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that truth, as we grow in that truth, can start to reshape our thinking. So what we want our thinking based on is the truth of the gospel. And once it's based on the truth of the gospel, we can see our feelings start to follow.
Yes, indeed. Well, Lorraine, sir, hope that helps you to understand better this issue of baptism. And friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel every month. We want to remind you that we are a listener-supported broadcast, and we need your ongoing help to continue to disseminate this good news of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can help with a donation today, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click the donate link there. And as you do that, we'll send you a copy of The Basic Gospel, our new book, and we would love for you to have a copy of it. You can also call 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.